And I'm Dov, and I'm continuing where we left off last time in Derech Emes, the first shiur, so to speak, was focused on the Shelah HaKadosh, his approach towards Shovavim and what it's about, what Shovavim is really about. It gave a beautiful introduction to the concept of Shovavim and why this is something important at this particular time of the year. What does it have to do with this particular time of the year? He also talked a little bit in there about what it has to do with these parshias in the laning, which is the minig in Bavel, at least, to lane the parshias the way that we do, one parsha per week. He explained that as well. That's in the first Chaburah. The second one, I talked about a concept that the tzaddik here in Derech Emes is bringing up about a couple of things. He mentioned that the taiva, which is a desire, and desire is what we are almost made of completely. Desire is what motivates a person. That's what desire is. Hashem created the world, it says, in Pirkei Der Eliezer, there was hu uritzono bilvad, shmo uritzono bilvad, you know? There was ritzono. You know, what is ratzon? Is desire, is motivation. That's most of what you are. That's most of how we perceive, so to speak, or describe God as what should we waste our time saying? He's haya hoyve v'yihyeh. Like, what does that even mean to us? Nothing. So ritzono is a nice way, and we talk about Ritzono Yisbarach, and the Unkelos frequently refers to Meimred Hashem, you know, when it says Hashem or Elokim. A lot of times the Unkelos Hager, the Tzadik, the Tana, Unkelos translated Hashem in an indirect kind of fashion as Meimred Hashem. Meimred Hashem is the word of Hashem. That means an expression of his Ratzon. Hashem's Ratzon. The Ratzon of Hashem sort of is him. Hu uritzono is echad. And that's the way you are too. And I am. And that's, ritzono is desire. It's what motivates you and me. This is very important. Okay? Desire isn't the enemy. Desire is what you are to some great degree. And the question is, and this is what 12 steps is really about as well, by the way, even though we're not studying 12 steps here, but 12 steps is about how to bring my desire, my motives in line, parallel, in line at least parallel with God's will. You know, that's why 12 steps focus is on humility and acceptance, right? Not on pretending that we know what to do or we don't know what to do or whatever, but rather on humility, prayer, meditation, acceptance of reality and getting myself and my own character defects out of his way, okay? And you'll see that the emphasis in this Sefer is going to be similar. The emphasis of Shovavim is similar to that. It's a restoration of things so that I am out of God's way and that God's will flows through me. I become an expression of his will instead of an expression of my will. And that's a big part of Torah in Chabad. It's like a big thing called Bittul. In other Sfarim, it's called other things. And over here, this is a big part of what he's talking about. This is from a tzaddik who was a Talmud. His name is Meshulam Feivish Halevi Heller. He was a Talmud of the Magid HaKadosh. And after the Magid passed away, of some of the other Talmidim of the Magid. So the first parak and the second parak we went through mostly. The end of the second parak, he ends with a difficult paragraph that I wanted to go over before I moved on. Like I said last time, I would go over this last paragraph because I didn't understand it properly myself and I wanted to redo it. It's huge. It's a huge, huge yisod. V'zeh hatam, the end of parak days. This is the problem in mitzvah haba'a ba'avera. We say mitzvah haba'a ba'avera doesn't work. you know? So, in general, right? So, what's the reason? Zehatam, this is the reasoning for a mitzvah ba'avera not working. Shesoine gezel ba'ola. We know in Gemara Sukkah, it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu kaveyochol, hates kaveyochol. These are anthropomorphisms, hating, loving. These are anthropomorphisms, especially hating. Gezel, Hashem despises gezel, meaning robbery, in an ola. An ola is a korban. When a person does a korban, that's a very special thing, where you're sacrificing something of yourself. Remember I said that the, you know what, I'm going to have to do a mute because there's background noise. Let me just do that right now. It'll help. Okay, if you have something to comment, chaverim and chaveros, you can unmute by hitting *6, I think. Okay? So if you have something to comment, you want to say *6, comment, and then re-mute yourself after you're done, okay? I had to hit *5, which is the master mute to, it makes me feel powerful too. Anyway, no, I'm kidding. We had too much background noise. So when a person brings a korban, this is an idea of self-sacrifice, which in 12 steps they call surrender. That's what self, nesiras nefesh. Nesiras means giving over. Nefesh means self. And yeshes nafshechem means if you yourselves want, you know, that's, so nesiras nefesh means giving over of self. That's called surrendering yourself, giving up. Surrendering, giving up, sacrificing. This is the concept. It's not about being a martyr. Hashem is not looking for a martyr when you're doing a korban because you're not dying. What he's looking for, kaveyachol, is that a person is giving something, giving themselves up to God. The Ramban is very clear on what a korban accomplishes, even if it's not a korban chatas. It's not about a korban is in the place of the person, and the person's thinking, really, I should be dying because of my chatoyim. That's not the point of a korban. The point of a korban is that the person is giving himself up to God. That itself, without sin of any kind, that itself has tremendous value. And if you want to see a beautiful exposition of what this means in terms of the tikkun of the chet of Adam Arishon, even, and all chet, and fixing the whole world, look in the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, in the Shlach HaKadosh, right at the beginning, he discusses why Aaron is in charge of Korbanos, not Moshe Rabbeinu. He asks that question, and he makes a very major point about this, and he explains all this in the context of the pasuk Adam ki yakriv mikem korban Lashem. Adam, meaning Adam Arishon, ki yakriv mikem korban Lashem. When you do a korban, it's mikem, it's from yourselves. Korban Lashem, for the sake of Adam, meaning the tikkun of the chet of Adam, and he goes through a very beautiful exposition of this entire inyan, which you can see if you can hear. This is a very deep concept and very beautiful. So, v'zeh hatam mitzvah haba ba'avera, shesoine gezel ba'ola. HaKadosh Baruch Hu expresses in to us through Chazal in Gemara Sukkah that he despises gezel in an ola, in a korban ola. Korban ola is the ultimate symbol of a person surrendering himself to the Ribbono Shel Olam, of giving up my will to accept his will. Ki zeh neged ritzono. Why is gezel make an ola fail? Because gezel is neged ritzono. It's not his will. How is it not his will? Because he gave so-and-so this animal, not me. And if I go and steal it, I'm taking an animal that was not mine. It was not his will originally for it to be. It's not an expression of his will for me to take possession of this animal and use it. So I'm using, I'm going against his will in order to do what I pretend is a mitzvah, his will. Lo kemo shechosh v'n hapsoyim she'ovdim Hashem. not like the fools think that they're serving God because they're doing something very holy. It's a korban, or you're wearing a gartel, you're davening shacharis. I once parked my car outside a yeshiva that was a musar-ish yeshiva. I made the mistake, I was a teenager. I parked my car in a tremendous rush to get mincha. Maybe I had to say Kaddish for somebody, I don't remember. And I was in such a rush. It was so important. I just was making Shemoneh Esrei with the minion by the skin of my teeth. And I parked my car with about a foot of my car in a person's driveway. It was the only spot I could find near this yeshiva. And I parked there and I jump out of my car and I run to the minion thinking, thank God I'm going to make the minion. And one of the yeshiva bachurim sees me and he had the guts, the gall and the guts to tell me, he said, you're blocking his driveway, you know? Now, I don't know if he knew who that person was. It doesn't matter. And I said, oh, yeah, I know. I have to make it to mincha. And he said to me, but why is your mincha more important than his convenience? You know? And I stopped short and I realized I'm going against God's will. This is not right. This is just not right. And I went and I moved my car and I missed the minion, you know? And I mean, I don't know for sure if I missed the minion, but I missed whatever I was thinking I was going to catch. That's for sure. Because there's a bigger picture over here, and that's what he's focusing on. Tricks them. Besohu, the ta'ava, b'chas, with nothing, with desire. Selfish ta'ava is a selfish desire. B'chas, chas doesn't literally mean anger. Chas literally means like a negative excitement. It's excitement. Rov dvarim, rov chas. It doesn't mean more anger. It means more like you get all wrapped up in something and you make a big deal about nothing. So the Yetzer Hara is making a big deal about nothing. The Sodom Shahakolish and Shemayim. I'm doing the right thing. The Na'apochu, and the truth is the opposite. Because when you see that if someone disagrees and says, hey, your mincha is more important than his convenience, you know, where did you get that from? You know, the reaction of the person is to get angry. Why are you getting all angry? The truth is, this person is missing the mark. I was missing the mark. And this is the truth. It's not to figure out your will that we're here for. It's to figure out that we don't really understand you and that we need to be humbled. The purpose of Avodas Hashem is not enlightenment, it's hachna'a. Enlightenment comes with it, but that's not the main purpose. The main purpose of the relationship between God and man is not for man to be elevated to be like God by us. That's God's doing. Our job, our part is to be machnia ourselves to him. And this is part of the Chet of Adam HaRishon itself, as the Midrash Rabba famously says, Va'ochel, meaning I would eat it again. Adam HaRishon's Chet all stemmed from Ga'ava to some degree. So it makes sense that we're not barking up the wrong tree by making Hachna'a the goal and the bellwether, the litmus test, the yisod of everything. Okay. The nachazor le'inyanenu. Let's return to our inyan over here. This is Perek Gimel. Shebetava hazos nechlolim kol hatavos. That in this tava, in the desire of sexual desire, nechlolim is included, kol hatavos, o tava, And on some level, if a person hasn't fixed up this problem, what's the problem, though? He's not defining it. Okay? Sexual desire is certainly not the problem. No sexual desire? That's the goal of Torah? To have no sexual desire whatsoever? Really? You can bring me, I'm sure, many proofs that that is not true. So what does he mean when he says, V'im adayin lo tikein zeh, lo hiskil klum? What does he mean when he says, V'im adayin lo tikein zeh? Okay? So that needs clarity, and he'll clarify that with God's help as we go on much later. But that's not the point right now. He means that there's obviously a problem here, and if this problem is not corrected, it's a symbol that since all taiva is included in this, our taiva is motivation, but it's selfish motivation. The answer to selfish motivation is humility and hachna'a, not battering rams of willpower. Okay? That's the main thing I'd like to pass on, and you'll see that idea born over and over and over again through the Sefer, that it's not about kodesh with a battering ram of self-will for God's sake, because you don't do things for God's sake in the first place. This is the important point that the Derech Emes makes in his first chapter. If we look back at the first chapter, you'll see Perek Aleph. He makes in the second paragraph, he clarifies and he proves from your own behavior, from our own behavior, from my own behavior, from his own behavior, he proves that this is the way people are. We focus on the mitzvahs aseh because they prove that we're a good guy. We don't focus on perfection in the mitzvahs lo aseh, anything near to the way we focus on the perfection in mitzvahs aseh, because the mitzvahs lo aseh don't prove anything because nobody sees it. So our motives, our true motivation, he proves, is not really avodas Hashem, but to be a tzaddik, to appear to be a tzaddik, to look like a tzaddik, to, you know, it's ultimately some kind of arrogance, and we excuse it by saying vayigbalibi bidarkei Hashem and other convenient sayings, but the fact is that our true motives are not altruistic. In other words, our true motives are not really to serve Hashem perfectly, to serve Hashem for his sake, for his will, but rather to get schar, to be a tzaddik, to look like a tzaddik, to be known as a tzaddik, to be able to look at ourselves and say, I'm a tzaddik, the comfort of whatever it is. So that's an important point. And now that's what he's getting at over here, okay? If a person hasn't fixed this up, he hasn't gone anywhere, and I'm just adding that hachna'a is going to be the point over here, not fighting strong. The ikar hatshuva hu aziva sachet. The root of tshuva, he means, is aziva sachet, not sinning, leaving the sinning alone. Okay? Why is that the core, the root of tshuva? Because how do you demonstrate what your motives are more than by your choices? Your choices demonstrate what your true motives are, as Rabbi Tversky has taught us over and over again. A person says, I'm struggling to do this, I'm wishing to do that, I'm hoping to do this, but you see what they really, really want in the end by what they end up doing. That proves how a person wants to live. You get the life you deserve. In other words, you didn't want to put the work into it. You know, you didn't want to get out of the shame and get the help you needed. So, of course, you ended up continuing doing the same garbage you were doing before because you wanted to be comfortable. That was your emphasis. My emphasis was to be comfortable until, you know, I couldn't be comfortable anymore. And that's when I started getting the help that I needed for the problems that I had. Until then, I wanted to have what I wanted to have, and I didn't want to be embarrassed. I didn't want to, you know, have to admit the truth to another person in a full, in a complete and total way. I offered it in a varnished way so that I would save face a little bit. In other words, I wasn't ready to leave my comfort zone, and I kept sinning. Excuse me. And I kept sinning and making certain mistakes in my life because I was not ready, because my emphasis was comfort. My desire, my motive, what I wanted more than anything else was to get comfort, to remain comfortable, to be comfortable psychologically, emotionally, physically. Okay? As long as that's your motive, it will become clear at the end of your life that that was your motive all along, and you will prove it. Okay? Dehainu, so the Ikra Tshuva Aziva Sachet. Aziva Sachet is therefore the root of Tshuva, because proof that you really want to be different is only found in what your choices end up being. It's very simple. Dehainu Shetehenim Eses Belibo Zos Hataiva Be'emes. That in the heart, this desire is nimesis. It's despised. Oh, I don't want sex. I don't want porn. I don't want fantasy. Ugh. How many of you can say that now? The answer to that question is none. How many of you will ever say that? The answer to that question is none, which he's going to get to. Not that you need to keep pushing this away, that your own heart despises doing it and doesn't even want to do this stuff. As long as this desire is sealed in and held, atsura means that it's held, withheld and held, belibo, in the heart, in his heart, lo azav hacheid adayim. He didn't leave the chait. It's not just not doing it, but it's even more. It's a complete despising of this behavior that is the real success. Ubozem mikro gibra kovishes yitzro. And this is what it means. Sorry. A lot of congestion. This is what it means. A gibor is a strong person, powerful person. A kovashis yitzro, who captures his desire. Kimodi isa bazohar al posuk chagor charbacho al yorech gibor. Yorech meaning yisod, which is the bris hamohar, and that's a reference to this idea of a gibor is somebody who doesn't even desire this stuff anymore. Now, I have to say that my experience on Guard Your Eyes for about 10 years now has been that that most guys are living in this fantasy nonsense that he's talking about over here, and he's about to clarify as we go on that this is fantasy nonsense. He's going to clarify this. These aren't my words. I'm not criticizing Echas Hashalom Chazal or anybody. This is not something you or I are going to approach in this lifetime, and that's important to recognize and accept and to live with. The question, and this is obvious to you. If you think this over, you know this is obvious to you. And you know that this isn't even the derech of Chazal and Halacha, that we don't even go for this stuff. We don't even try to reach this stuff on a practical level. He's bringing this stuff all up to make a point. So this is the direction that we're going, the general direction, not just of not sinning, but of not even wanting to sin in desire, particularly sexual desire, because it's a symbol of like all desire, and to be completely like that that's not something that we even want. And I keep hearing this from guys on Guard Your Eyes, especially teenagers and people who are adults but still teenagers inside. We remain that way. My sponsor told me once that the day you started messing around with this stuff was the day you stopped growing up, okay? He was talking to me, not to you. And I learned a general rule about things. When we find something that's like a drug in our lives, we stop growing up in some respect, because in some real respect, because that drug substitutes are for us the need to actually grow up and face things like a man or like a woman, you know? And therefore, all these Guard Your Eyes guys from all over all the years that I've been on, they're always interested in one thing, tshuva gemura. They're not interested in anything else. Tshuva gemura, not just tshuva. It's got to be tshuva gemura. In other words, exactly what he's referring to here. Guys are not interested in stopping. Guys are not interested in living a controlled life. They're interested in one thing. I want to make it, because I'm the Yerei Shamayim, I want to make it so that I don't desire this stuff even. That's the goal, that this part of me is cut out of me, that I don't even desire to do such a thing, okay? The problem is that if you're honest with yourself, you'll see that that's not accurate. For a number of reasons. The Rosette Sarech Hachna'a Be'emes, the Messina's Gadol, for this kind of a level, a person needs Hachna'a. That was my point before. Not Gevura, but Hachna'a. A tremendous surrender of self-will. Not as a martyr. As long as you consider yourself a martyr, you're saying, look at my shining light. The Mokum Shabbat Shivom, the name to be Murn Cholam La'amod. The Mokum Shabbat, people who give up their lives, Al Kiddush Hashem, Mar Rav Tuvcha Shetzafan Talurecha, that it's Ashrei Amachakalo. Even the Nevi'im didn't see what I'm getting because look at what I'm sacrificing. As long as I'm a martyr and I'm giving up, you know, I'm surrendering it, I'm giving it up, look at me, you know, as long as that's part of it, which is natural for us, as long as that's what's happening, I'm not going to succeed in this path, because that's not a path of humility. That's not a path of achna'a. But as that's our achna'a, be'emes, umesimus gadol, great patience. Ve'ayim be'atzmo, b'chol eis, b'libo, ma'hu rotzeh, to honestly look in my heart, to honestly look in your heart and say, what do you really want? What is your real motivation? Is my motivation to be comfortable, or is my motivation truth, honesty, and freedom? Ki hayetzer orev b'chol eis la'ish b'drachov la'hapilo b'choach pituyo. Because the yetzer hara is always laying in wait. In other words, the desire, the self-centered desire, is always at wait inside a person, tempting. The ein rega b'li pega. And there's no moment without trouble. Whether it's depression, sadness, getting excited about things that aren't really important, for covet, for desire, anything else, or what he calls in the different nusach of the Ksav Yad, it says the anava psula batzvius. Batzvius. Tzvius means I'm trying to pronounce things in sort of a Hebrew correct way instead of a typical Ashkenazi or even Sephardi kind of pronunciation, but excuse me. It doesn't mean I'm not from, hello. Tzvius is what I referred to in the first or second piece recording that the Chovas Alvavas famously talks about, that Tzvius is faking. And we're all subject to faking, and anybody who is stuck on a desert island for a year and a half, 2 years, look at how you daven Shemana Esrei and how you put on tefillin and say brachas in the morning and say Shema after the year and a half is over, and you'll see that the truth is a little, you'll have a window at least on the truth of where you're holding, you know? Because the way that you do it in shul with everybody looking and people potentially looking and all this, it's definitely affecting how you're doing. If you want to know the truth about yourself, you need to be freed from any concern of what anybody's thinking about looking at you. And we all go through periods where we think that we're free of that, but we're really not. Okay? And that's what the Chovos HaLevavos in that chapter in Shar Yichud HaMaisa, Perek Dalet, if I'm getting it correctly, is talking about, when he talks about how Tzivius is so powerful and important. In the yeshiva, in the Musa Yeshiva of Navardak, in the typical pronunciation, they used to work on this. In 12 steps, it's called codependence. Vihine, Kol HaTerekula, Tanakh, Gemara, Ukoskim, Mileim Yeres Hashem, Ma La'asos U'ma Shelo La'asos. Okay? What I just said before was something very interesting, I think. What I just said before was that if you listen carefully, you know, you heard. If a person hasn't, he said, if a person hasn't fixed bin Nisakein this taiva, he hasn't lo hischil klum. He hasn't started avodas Hashem yet at all. He hasn't started anything. Okay, and it's a, you know, it's a problem what he's saying, because look at what he's trying. The point that he's making is a much bigger point, okay? He's saying the following. Look at this. V'hine kol ha-Torah kula. The whole Torah, Tanakh, Gemara, Poskim, Malayim Yiras Hashem. They're full of exhortation to Yiras Shemayim. Warnings about Yiras Shemayim. Ma la'asos u'ma shelo la'asos. What we can do and what we can't do. V'heim ra'u ratzon ha-borei v'tor shebetzav shekhlula mikol achu b'remez nifla. It's, they saw the Ratzon of Hashem in Torah Shebetzav, but it's very hidden in Torah Shebetzav. V'heim chokru kol dvaram al amitasam v'ruach ha-kodesh aleihem, and they thought through all these things, through their beautiful ruach ha-kodesh that they had, you know, the Chazal had. V'herchivu be'urim b'Torah Shebetzav, and through it they explained with Biurim, you know, explanations in Torah Shebaal Peh. Okay? Beheru kol dinei iser beheter, and they showed us all the halachos, all the rules of forbidden and allowed. Kosher uposel, tamei v'tohar, zakai v'chayav, right? Innocent and guilty. Details to the tens of thousands, even millions, and that are ein shir, that have no measure even. What you're allowed to eat and what you can't eat. You can't speak what you can speak. And if you spoke, then what's din? Kol dini mamunis, malei mizeh v'nuyim ala dibur, v'sof davar, kololo kol ha-pratin shibolam hazeh. The Chazal, look at how large even the Choshen Mishpat is. It's huge. Lo hinichu dever katan hein naisa hein dibur kama yesh bo iser v'kama heter. They didn't leave anything in the world without some kind of a measurement. This is allowed, this part of it's allowed, this part of it's not allowed. In one way you're allowed to do this, in one way you're not allowed to do this. Go through the street and look at the women, look at the men, look at the people, look at this, look at that. Everything's basically has an iser v'heter. V'hinei ha'adam hu chelek elokim mimal. A person is a godly portion of from above. V'haya min aroya shebetibo yisna kol ma'ashasayne Hashem. It should be natural for him to hate whatever Hashem hates. V'araisa v'kutshebichu chad. The Torah and Hashem are one. V'ritzon ha'borei nivora b'torah b'lishim tam. And the will of the Bore, Mavor, is clarified in the Torah, Belishum Tam, Ach Le'ehov Ha'emes V'Meshu Emes, without having to explain the reason, loving the truth because it's true. The Harbe Taro Frishas Kedusha V'Anavetzarech L'Yira Kazo, simple appreciation and acceptance, allegiance to Hashem's will, right and wrong, whatever it is, requires a lot of a lot of Tahara and Precious Kedusha Anava. Because Hakeshel allows us Neged Ritzono, the load, and certainly not to do against his will, the load Dai Shehem Osim Neged Ritzono B'chaleis, Alev Molek Kas V'gadlus Amir M'v'sheker V'chol Minei Klippus El Hashem M'shatim Esatzmon V'chol Minei Shtus V'sovim Sha'af HaPichen Ogdev Hashem B'torah U'tfila. And he says that on some level, we're fooling ourselves to say that we're serving Hashem while we're full of silliness, really. We're not really even at the beginning of serving Hashem on some level. Aylanu eich anu rechokin min ha'emes. His point is not guilt. He's getting there. Don't worry. Hang in there. Messinas, patience. Oylanu eich anu rechokin min ha'emes. Halo ha'avos ha'kdoshim v'choladoros achreihem Moshe and Aaron dor amidbar tzadiki yisod eolam tanoim and amaroim ga'onim ba'aleitosus eich kulim shomeres atzma minachet v'yorim minachet. They kept themselves from chait. They were afraid of sin and mistakes. They figured out all kinds of tricks and ways to defend themselves from desires, from selfish desires. And us, from the low brains, balei mas, weak, low of deeds, bereke kisharon, empty of intelligence. Malayim avonos sheesh behem krisus amisus bezin amisus b'deishmaim amakos malkus. We're full of sins that have kares misus bezin misus b'deishmaim malkus. Avarnu b'chol haTorah kula me'alef ad tav. Haven't we sinned over the Torah from A to Z? Lo hinachnu davar. There's practically nothing we haven't done. At least as a tzibur, for sure. Besides the fact that our brains aren't holding in where they need to be, our attitudes are all wrong. He's getting to a point. Hang in there. and the mental things, the chobos avavos, are violating all the time. What we want is, again, to be called a tzaddik and a yashar, which isn't serving Hashem. We found so many things that bring hachna'a. Hachna'a is how do you translate that? Surrender, being broken in a positive way, you know, submission, you know, submission. In Chazal's words, afilu v'kama hachnos v'shiflus matzana v'divrei amakdoshim amalhivim esalei v'kama anu rechokin. How far we are. Afilu m'machsheves kutz shalem, even from their outer intentions, Chazal. Our real intentions, he's not beating us up, he's not flagellating. This is self-honesty, man, lady. This is self-honesty, friends. That's all. He's just saying the truth about himself and about you and me. He's just saying the truth. This is no beating, okay? Let's be honest about ourselves. It's true. We're so far from their outer intentions of the Chachamim in the past. B'chol magamoseinu, our goals, magama is a goal. Our goals, our aim, our goal. Tamid legadlus ulehis paris. Our motives, our motivations are always influenced, at least if not completely, for godless greatness in the eyes of others. His powers and looking good in our own eyes or others. Who among us is going to say that I've become pure and left all these things? A person knows that I'm really standing outside the door. I'm still standing outside the door. I have to stop here because of time. It's 1 o'clock, and I want to break this into units, okay? But at this point, I want to just say two things, two small points to sort of end, not just on a positive note, but on a realistic note. Number one, we're going to get to the rest of what he's talking about, which is very important, and it sets us on a good path of realism and sanity. But first, I just want to point out two things, that there's something precious in what he's saying and accepting what he's saying. One is how I understand the psukim, Tischu li sha'arei tzedek, ovovam odeh yo, zeh ha'shar l'adonoi tzedikim yavo uvo. That, what do we say? Tischu li sha'arei tzedek, ovovam, I will come into these, open for me the gates of righteousness, sha'arei tzedek, ovovam, I will enter them, odeh ko, and I will express my gratitude to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Zeh ha'shar l'Hashem, this is the gate of, this is the gateway to Hashem, tzadikim yavovo, the great people, the tzadikim yavovo, go into it, okay? The way I understand it, and I want to suggest for you to consider it, meaning is this, Pisku li sha'arei tzedek, open up for me the gates of righteousness. Who says that? A person who's walking through them? No. A person who hasn't walked through them yet, who is where he's describing. That's us. If a person truly wants to be into, get into the gates of righteousness, that means I'm not. I recognize that I'm not in the gates of righteousness. I'm not. That's why I'm saying, peacefully, open it for me. And he says, in the future, if you open them for me, I will come into them and I will express my gratitude to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Zeh ha'shar l'Hashem. Let me not fool myself and think to myself that there's nothing great about this, because the truth is this is the same gate that the tzaddikim go into. The real tzaddikim consider themselves also as being outside the gate. And they also say, Hisku li sha'arei tzedek, ovavam odaya. This is the gateway. What's the gateway? Hiskuli. That a person says, Hiskuli, open it up for me, like we say in the Haggadah, for the ben who doesn't even know how to ask, at pesachlo. For the she'ene de alisho, at pesachlo, open the gate, open it for him. Hiskuli sha'arei tzedek, because I'm not even there yet. Zehashar Lashem, that's the gate to Hashem, because you and your avoda and your mitzvahs and your guarding your eyes and your lashon hara, caring that your machzon lefi all day and your mitzvahs and your tzedakah and your tefillin that you brought to a sofer and you got checked so it's 100% kosher and you started the Bein HaTam and you're doing this and you're doing that and you don't touch your beard and you. Or, you know, or you're machmir in like, you know, nida in six different ways, that you're this best and that best, and the money that you make sure that at your work you don't like even look to the side, and this, no matter how firm you are in Archaim, Hoshe Mishpat, Eben Ezer, and, you know, all this, and you're a Dea, all this firmkeit will never, you're never going to be good enough to deserve it. You're never going to do it right enough to be a righteous. And if you think you will because you're trying, you're a fool. That's arrogance. That's not avodas Hashem. Okay? That's not what it's about. What it's about is staying peacefully and trying your heart out. That's what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants. He doesn't want righteousness that you do it perfectly. He wants you to try your heart out to do it perfectly. And to remain recognizing that no matter how hard you do it, it's probably not good enough. And not to look at it in a pathetic sort of poor me kind of martyrish way, that no matter how good I do it, it's not good enough for you, you're too demanding, God. That's not the point. The point is to be self-honest and say, I'll never be righteous enough to deserve good things. This is what the Gemara means when it says you should always be tole your tefillas that you beg Hashem for on chesed. Why? That's why it says in the Gemara that it's terrible la'ayin b'tefilosav. Why? Because, there's two chazals, they say it's a mitzvah la'ayin, they say it's terrible la'ayin, and the Gemara explains, it's about do you deserve it or not? That's testing God, ultimately. Because I did this, and now you're supposed to give me that. In other words, I did this good enough. But then Hashem says, the ultimate answer is, mi hikdimani va'ashalem. Right? It says, ulecha Hashem ha-chesed, ki ulecha Hashem ha-chesed, because you give schar to a person, and they teach it as if he did. Why? Because I gave you the house. I gave you the mezuzah. I gave you the sofer. I gave you everything. What did you do? What did you do? You chose. You didn't do a great act. You chose. You choose the best you can. God will take care of the rest. We need to stop grading ourselves. That's the point here. There's no hachna'a at all as long as you are measuring yourself and myself. As long as I am measuring myself, there's no hachna'a in Avodas Hashem. And it becomes, slowly, sometimes quickly, not about Hashem at all in the end. It becomes about, oh, I do these chumras, I keep that, I do this, you know? And there's nothing wrong with chumras. There's nothing wrong with being machmir in six different ways, in vestos and and in choshen mishpat. There's nothing wrong with not touching the beard or whatever, there's different things and, you know, chalav this and pas that and chumras of different hechsherim to be more machmer, there's nothing evil about it. It's just that it doesn't really prove anything necessarily. And the perspective needs to be maintained. And if you maintain your perspective, your chumras will help you in your Avodas Hashem. If you don't maintain the perspective, the chumras will slowly become proofs, psychologically sick proofs, to myself secretly that you see how righteous I am? You see I'm good? If I don't do this, if I don't do, and I don't, or if I do, whatever it is, if I do it good enough, then somewhere in me there's this, I deserve it, I deserve good. Now I'm safe. Now I'm safe. Now I've escaped God's will, or now he has to give me X, Y, and Z, or now I can expect whatever it is because I did it, you know? okay, that's point number one. And point number two, to end off, is that there really is, on a different level, this is a little crass, I apologize. The Gemara says, Tfilin Srichin Gufnaki. Okay? Tfilin Srichin Gufnaki. That for a man to wear tefillin, the tefillin requires that the body be clean. So we say that if a person, the halacha is, if a person feels he has to go to the bathroom, especially for, you know, a bowel movement, then a person's not allowed to wear the tefillin. If a person feels like he has to go, he needs to check himself, you know, to go to the bathroom, clean out his body, right? So, I asked a surgeon, a friend of mine in the show, I asked a surgeon once who does you know, surgery on the bowel frequently, and they prep the bowel and clean it out and this and that. He calls it a prep, he told me. And I asked him, how clean is the bowel after, you know, a person goes to the bathroom? And he said, oh, it's filled with stool. Meaning with bowel movements. It's filled with this stuff, smelly, gross stuff. It's filled. Even if they do a clean out, it's very, very difficult to really, really clean it out completely. So I started to wonder what the Chazal mean when they say, that's filling, tzrichin gufnaki. I don't have a gufnaki. It should have said something like, sorry about my throat. I'm very, very congested. I apologize. Chazal should have known this. I mean, they should have said, fill in tzrichin, you know, that you don't have to go to the bathroom. Why did they say guf naki? So the body is still filled with this, not filled, but, you know, the bowel is still filled in places with this stuff just the same. And it's just as smelly. It's just as disgusting. What's the difference? It's not out of his body. It's still inside. What's the difference if it's inside 10 feet up or if it's inside near the thing? It's not coming out. You know, why tefillin, tzrichin, guf naki, more than davening, by the way. The halacha is different between tefillin and davening. Why is it by tefillin they say tefillin, tzrichin, guf naki, if the guf isn't really naki? It's not really clean. So I refuse to accept that Chazal, our Chachamim, did not understand human anatomy enough to know that it really wasn't naki and they thought that it was in their naivete. I refuse to accept that. I think they were saying something quite different. I think they were saying you're never going to be naki. There's a famous quote, Adchi Yada Magas. Okay, but what does that really mean, Adchi Yada Magas? Adchi Yada Magas means you're never going to be perfect. There's no way to really get it clean. OCD is a huge problem in the firm community. Huge. OCD is a psychiatric condition called obsessive compulsive disorder. And there's probably different names for it now and different brands of it and all that stuff. I'm not a psychiatrist or a psychologist, OCD is a huge problem in the firm community because all these things that we're talking about lend themselves to obsession and compulsion, compulsive behavior, doing it over and over and over again, getting it more and more perfect. Obsession with perfection becomes a self-serving mental disease. And the experts tell me that at the core of obsessive compulsive disorder is fear. It's a fear that I'm not perfect enough, that I haven't accomplished what I need to accomplish. I still need to do it again, or I still have to do another bit, or I still have to take another prop, another specific thing and find out if this is okay and that's okay and check it again and check it again. It's a fear. And what is that, a fear of doing God's will? That's not a fear of God's will. Because we see in tefillin, tzarichin guf naki doesn't mean you have to sit on the toilet for 3.5 hours every morning. If you look in the Halakha Siddur of the Kamarna, the way that the Kamarna Hasidim put it together, it's called Gzos HaBracha, I think, or something with Bracha, Heichal HaBracha, right. In the Heichal HaBracha Siddur, he has a beautiful introduction about going to the bathroom in the morning, how to prepare yourself, and the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, and the Shulchan Aruch is very famous for saying, Lo Lidchok Es Atzmo Yosem Yidai. The Gemara says, Lo Lidchok Es Atzmo. It's trying to prevent OCD. That's what it's trying to do. Because people will think, I need a guf naki, and they'll hear a speech like this, and they'll think, they'll take all these things, and they'll make it into poison. I have spoken with guys, not just one, not just five, more, on Guard Your Eyes, for example, who started punishing themselves in different kinds of physical ways and monetary ways for their repeated sins, it becomes a self-serving, bizarre exercise until their behavior started to take on a life of its own. And I'm not just talking about sticking objects under their nails to make them bleed and asking questions about that and how much money they should be giving to punish themselves for various indiscretions and failures. The whole thing is built on a lack of self-honesty because there's an inherent imperfection in all of us and a person needs to accept responsibility for working on themselves, not for working on who they aren't. And I want to end with this. Sorry, I'm really sorry about my phlegm. I'm trying not to cough in your ear. But the Baal Shem Tov is quoted as saying, a person can serve Hashem from wherever they are right now. Okay? I heard that the Maggid said, a person must serve Hashem from wherever they are right now. He kind of changed it a little. And then I heard from, quoted in the name of Rabbi Yisrael of Rizhin, I might be getting the names wrong, but it was one, step one, step two, step three, that the Rizhiner said, a person can only serve Hashem from where they are right now. This is so important. This is so precious. Without that, all this talk and this sefer are going to only mess up people's avodas Hashem. It won't help anybody. And that's what's important over here, to keep context as we go through the sefer, to recognize wherever I really am in avodas Hashem, however he's spelling it out, this is the place where, this is the only place where I can serve Hashem from. Hashem isn't dumb. Hashem doesn't assume that I'm somebody else. He isn't waiting for me to be somebody else before I start to serve him. He wants my avoda as I am right now, and he knows exactly how I am and who I am and what I am, and he wants my avoda. And I got to start from where I am. It's not just that I have to start from somewhere. It's that where I'm starting from, where I am right now, has intrinsic value, and it is the only, it's not just the best avoda I can do. It is. It's more than just the best. It's the only avoda I can do. There is no other avoda. If I pretend that I'm a person who has achieved this complete disgust and disdain of sexual desire and lust, I'm just a fool. That's all. Nothing but a fool. And I'm not serving Hashem. I'm in a fantasy land. Thank you for letting me share this, and we'll move on to the next chapter next time.